Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. Today is all about celebrating the risen Savior. Amen. And so if you have your Bible with you today, would you grab it? Would you hold it up? We like to do this and we like to declare and say this after me. Say, I am what His Word says I am. I can be who His Word says I can be. I can do what His Word says I can do. So today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll receive the Word of God because I love the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24 today as we're going to read the account of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to read Luke chapter 1, chapter 24, starting in verse 1 through verse 12. And it says this, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." Come on, somebody. They found the stone. It was rolled away from the tomb. "Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again."' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that we get to be in your house on this Resurrection Sunday, on the day that we realize our faith was solidified, because there have been other great men who have died, but there's only one that said, "I will be crucified, but yet 3 days later I will rise again." And that was the man Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who we celebrate today, who gives us life and who gives us peace. And we just say thank you for the work of the cross and thank you for the power of resurrection in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. You know, this week I was thinking about my grandfather, my dad's dad, and I've shared a couple stories with you guys about my grandfather. I loved him so dearly. He passed away a few years ago, but he was just such a funny character. He was born in Rochester, Minnesota, and so he was a northerner, and so my brother and I, we just thought he was the funniest thing growing up. But one of my favorite stories about my grandfather is a couple years ago, he and my grandmother were visiting my parents right after Madison and I had moved to North Carolina for a short season. And my sister, Hosanna, who's now 9, I believe she was about 3 years old at the time, she actually walked on the ashes of a bonfire that my family had been having. They'd kind of put, you know, some water on the fire, put it out, gone inside, and Hosanna slipped outside unbeknownst to my parents, and she walked on those hot coals, and it burned the bottom of her feet. And so they had to actually med flight her to Birmingham because of some other complications that took place in the rescue process. And so my dad and my grandfather were driving to Birmingham, and they were going over Grant Mountain. Anybody know where Grant Mountain is? And as they went through Grant Mountain, it's obviously a hard time for my family. They're worried about the well-being of my sister Hosanna, who's being helicoptered down there. And as they drive through Grant, my grandfather, he begins to say, "What an awful town. This place is just ugly. Nobody cuts their yard. Nobody brings their trash can back up to the road. They have like one gas station. What do kids do for fun in this town? This is just a crummy town." And so they're driving on, and my dad's not paying much attention. Well, they go down to Birmingham, and my sister gets a good report. They're going to be able to, you know, her feet are going to be fine. She'll be just good and everything. So my dad and my grandfather begin to drive back. And as they begin to drive back, they begin to go over Grant Mountain on the way home. And on the way home, going through Grant, my grandfather goes, "What a lovely town, Greg." This is such a beautiful place. The yards are mowed. And I mean, it would be a blessing to raise a child in such a small community where there's nothing to do. There's nothing to get in trouble. He just goes on and on about how great this town is. And my dad goes, Dad, this is the same town that you complained about on the way to Birmingham. And my grandfather goes, no, it can't be. And my dad's like, I promise you it is. No, Greg, this is not the same town. That town was a piece of trash. This town is beautiful. And I just have to think that my grandfather, had he lived 2,000 years ago on Friday, he would have been pretty disappointed and he would have been complaining and he would have been saying, this is the worst day ever. Jesus has died. All hope is lost. They're going to put him in a tomb. This is terrible. But I also have to believe because of the type of person he was that he would have been the one like Peter that on Sunday morning, he would have been shouting, he's alive. And he would have been beating everybody to the tomb because he was so excited because that's just the type of person that he was. So I just want to share that funny story with you about my grandfather because on Friday, it did seem like it was a terrible situation. All hope was lost. But I'm telling you, Sunday morning, there was reason for celebration. Everything looked different. Jesus has risen from the grave. Amen. So on Friday, we remembered the work of the cross. But this morning, we get to celebrate victory over death and over the grave. You know why? Because he's no longer dead, but he is alive. And his life has brought us peace, has brought us hope, has brought us assurance, realizing that we can spend eternity looking at the face of our God who loves us and gave his son for us. And so I just want to ask you really quickly, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the work of the cross and for overcoming the grave and for everything that he did? Jesus, we just say that we worship you and we magnify you because death couldn't hold you down. You are the resurrected King in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a sermon to you today called Dead or Alive. Because when these certain women came to the tomb, whom other gospels reveal, and later as we kept on reading it, reveals to be Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they came to the tomb. They came carrying spices, the Bible says, that were used for burial purposes. They were seeking to spread these spices in and around the tomb, in and around the body of Jesus Christ. So they came, the Bible says literally in the version that we read there, that they prepared these spices. So that means that they were at home getting this stuff together, saying, hey guys, Jesus has died. Let's get a group of people together. In the South, what we would do is we'd bake a casserole and we would take it over to somebody's house, right? So this is their version of baking a casserole and taking it to somebody's house after a passing. They're putting these burial spices together and they decide we're gonna get up on the day after the Sabbath because on Sabbath you didn't do anything. And we're going to go to the tomb and we're going to anoint the body of Jesus. He lived a wonderful life. He performed many miracles, but now he's died. And so we're going to take these spices to the tomb. You see, because in ancient Israel, they didn't practice the technique of embalming. So therefore the body would decompose rather quickly and begin to put off an unpleasant odor. So to combat that awful smell of rotting flesh, it was common practice amongst the Israelites to take spices and put them in and around the tomb and on the body of the one that had died. So here they come, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and they're carrying these spices and they're meant to cover the smell of a decaying body, which shows me this. They fully expected to find Jesus dead in the tomb. Because you don't bring burial spices to a resurrection. So their mindset was he's dead. That's it. It's over. You know, he lived a good life. Everything was great. So they, even though Jesus had told them, he had told those who followed him, hey, I'm going to have to be delivered over to, you know, to the officials. I'm going to be crucified. But he said, 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. They didn't believe him. Yeah. They weren't coming hoping to find him alive. They were coming thinking he was in fact dead. So their faith was not working. It wasn't active. However, when they arrived at the tomb, which was owned by a man named Joseph of Arimathea, in fact, we sang that a moment ago, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. And that leads me to actually a really good point while I'm on this, is that the tomb that Jesus was laid in wasn't deeded to Jesus Christ. The tomb that Jesus was laid in was deeded to a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. You know why? Because you don't purchase something that you only need for a few days. Yeah. You don't buy something that you're only going to use for about 72 hours. Jesus didn't need a grave. He borrowed a tomb because he knew he wasn't going to be staying in that tomb. That wasn't going to be his permanent residence. His body wasn't going to decompose. It wasn't going to decay. So therefore, he borrowed a tomb because he didn't need to purchase a tomb. Come on. You know, gentlemen, when you're doing a job and you only need a tool for a couple hours, you don't go buy it. What do? You either borrow one or you rent one, right? Well, Jesus borrowed a tomb because he knew he wasn't going to need it for the rest of eternity. He was only going to use it for a few hours. He didn't have to stay there. So the ladies that came to the tomb on that wonderful morning, they didn't have the same understanding that Jesus did. You see, Jesus knew he wasn't going to stay there, but they had so soon forgotten the words that he had told them. And can you imagine their surprise as they come along with their little baskets or their little bags or whatever they're carrying their little spices in? I just have to imagine that if Mary and Salome lived today, they'd be really into essential oils, okay? I'm just taking a wild guess. I don't know. But, you know, they would have had their little diffusers with them and their little bottles of oil, and they're like, we're going to anoint Jesus's body with our essential oils. And so they come along, and imagine their surprise when they get there and the stone that covered the hole in the tomb is rolled away. Imagine they're thinking something bad must have happened, right? Because they're thinking that someone has taken the body of the Lord. Something has happened. They've been tampering with his body. And verse 4 is interesting to me, because in Luke chapter 24, verse 4, it says, "And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this." The Bible says they were greatly perplexed. That word perplexed means to stand in doubt, to be puzzled, or to be at a loss. They were literally at a loss for words or what to think. They didn't know what was going on. They were so confused. They were perplexed. They were puzzled. They were standing in doubt. They could not believe what their eyes were seeing. Even though Jesus had told them he would rise again. Yeah. When they found the tomb empty on that resurrection morning, they found themselves to be at a loss. They didn't know what to think. And you know, it's easy to point a finger at them and say, Jesus told you that he was going to rise again. Why didn't you believe him? It's easy to make light of their lack of belief. But how many times in our life do we fail to take God at his word? Yeah. How many times in our life do we forget what he has spoken to us, and we allow doubt to creep in? We allow the lies of the enemy to distract us from who he has called us to be and the destiny that he has placed in our life. And we allow the enemy to distract us, and we begin to think, oh no, maybe it's not going to happen. And we forget what God has told us. That's why you need to stand on the promises of God. You need to fill your life with his word and with his promise and with his presence. Because how many times do we find ourselves greatly perplexed, standing in doubt rather than standing in faith, puzzled, at a loss, wondering, what do I do? What's supposed to happen? Forgetting that he told us that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear, but in every temptation, he will make a way of escape. How many times do we forget that he said, I am with you even to the ends of the earth? How many times do we forget that his word tells us that we are more than conquerors by Christ Jesus who loved us? How many times do we forget that he said, thanks be to God who always leads us to victory in Christ Jesus? But we get so down and depressed and discouraged and upset. What am I going to do about this? How are we going to take care of that? And we're perplexed and we're at a loss. And what we are doing is we're standing in the tomb of a resurrected Savior that has made way for us to have life and have it more abundantly. And we're wondering, what am I going to do? I'm so perplexed. I'm so puzzled. I'm so upset. I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. When you find yourself at a loss, you need to remind yourself of what Jesus has already told you. You need to stand on his promises. You know why? Because Jesus has risen from the grave. And I want to remind you of something. Next week, he's still risen. This ain't the only day of the year that he's risen. And I love that there's so many people here this week, but don't let this be the only Sunday that you make it to church just because it's a day on a calendar and you live in Alabama and it's the right thing to do to go to church on Easter. Listen, he's alive tomorrow. He's alive on Tuesday. He's alive on Wednesday. When he rose from the grave, it wasn't just for a moment. It wasn't just for a second. It was for every single day for the rest of eternity. He is the risen Savior forever. And with him as our Savior, everything's possible. Yeah. Nothing in your life is impossible unless it's void of God. Yeah. Anything that has him in the equation is possible. Yet time after time, we find ourselves in the exact same spot as these certain women. We forget that God isn't confined to human restrictions. He isn't confined to our ideas or to our thoughts. He's infinite and all powerful. So I want to say to you today, whatever you are facing, let me say that again, whatever you are facing, no matter how grave it seems, how bad it seems, how deep you've gotten into the hole, whatever you're facing, whatever has you perplexed, if it's a situation at work, if it's your marriage, if it's your children, if it's what's going on in the world today, if it's coronavirus, if it's politics, if it's a financial situation, whatever has you puzzled, at a loss, standing in doubt, perplexed, you need to leave it in the tomb today. You need to leave it. You see, that stone was rolled away and Jesus exited the tomb. But we should put all of our worries, all of our doubts, all of our insecurities, all of our sin. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares you so that you can run the race with endurance. You know, it'd be pretty difficult to run with a couple hundred pounds on your back, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you make, I mean, I'd have a hard time running without that much weight on my back. But much less if you put weight on me. And so many of us are carrying things through our life that God never intended for you to carry. Weights and burdens. And you know what he says? Just lay them aside. Just let go of them. Realize that anything that is holding on to you, you're holding on to it. Because you, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean by the word that I've spoken to you. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not let us return again to the yoke of slavery. So anything that is on your back, maybe you've got a monkey on your back, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's something that you've carried from a past relationship or from a past job, something that's weighing you down, realize you're probably holding on to it as much as it's holding on to you. And it's your responsibility to let go of it, to drop it. Don't carry that baggage. Leave it in the tomb this morning. Leave it at the foot of the cross because he died so that you didn't have to carry that weight anymore. He rose again so that your doubts and your worries could die today. They don't have to stay alive. Realize anything that you feed will stay alive. Sometimes we're feeding doubt, we're feeding fears, we're feeding worry, we're feeding our insecurity, we're feeding our lust, we're feeding our hatred, we're feeding our anger. And if we will just say, I'm letting it go right now, it has no place. If you say, I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed some 2,000 years ago so that I could have life and have it more abundantly, you can be free of it today. Amen? Amen. And as those women stood there, not knowing what to do, you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? That's where they were. They're like, what do we, Jesus is gone. Everything that we've known, everything that we've been following for years now, it's gone. They didn't know what to do. The Bible says that two angels stood there before them in white, shining garments. And the women bowed themselves to the ground. And I love what the angels said to the woman who stood in that borrowed tomb. They said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. The grave that enveloped Jesus's body for some 72 hours didn't have a hold on him. No. It has no power to hold him. It has no power over him. He wasn't bound to death. There was resurrection power that flowed through the body of Jesus Christ, causing him to get up off of that cold stone and walk out of that hole as the risen Savior. The angel said, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? The problem was these women were seeking a living Savior amongst the dead. And it got me thinking, how many times do we seek life in death? Probably more times than you know. Probably more times than you care to admit. Probably more times than you ever realize. Because it says in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. So any time in my life that I willfully commit sin, I'm going to reap the wage of death. But it also says that the gift of God is everlasting life. But the problem is whatever you seek, you will find. So if you are seeking in the wrong place, you'll end up finding death instead of finding life. And so often, There's something inside of each and every one of us that longs to feel alive. Because without Christ, we're dead. Without Christ, we're lost. Without Jesus and the resurrection that he brings to our life, we are reaping the wages of death. But so many times in our life, we're searching for the feeling of being alive in the tombs of empty hope. Thinking if I can just get this, if I can just get that, we're searching for it in the grave of human success. If I can become more successful, if I can make more money, if I can get a better job, if I can get a better house, if I can get that boat, if I can get that, if I can get this in worldly possessions, we're looking and we're seeking the living among the dead. We're trying to fill that hole. We're seeking in relationships with other humans. Maybe it's with the opposite sex. Maybe you're seeking that hole to be fulfilled by getting approval by a man or by a woman or by earning this much money or by having this title or this responsibility. But we don't find ourselves fulfilled. We don't find ourselves alive. In fact, we just get more depressed, more discouraged, more worried, more upset, more burdened by the things of this world, because we're searching for something that can make us feel alive in the tombs of the world. But Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. True life can only be found in the Son of God. True life can only be found in the one that is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said that. He said, I am the resurrection. Resurrection wasn't something that Jesus encountered or something that he lived through. It's something that he was. It was on the inside of him. He is life. So when we're searching amongst anything other than Jesus to feel fulfilled and to feel alive, we're searching for the living amongst the dead. So why do we waste our time looking anywhere else for peace? Because let me tell you today, that substance can't give you true peace. Amen. That relationship won't give you peace. That job that you think, once I get to this place, I'll have peace. No, you won't. The only one that can truly satisfy the soul of any man, any woman, any child is Jesus Christ. Amen. But sometimes we're like Mary, Mary, and Salome, where we seek the living amongst the dead. But here's what I realized about these ladies as I was thinking about it, is they were trying to do what they thought was right. Yeah. They weren't trying to be obstinate. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people in church that are trying to do what is right, but they still find themselves feeling hopeless, yeah, greatly perplexed, yeah, puzzled, at a loss, standing in doubt. They're like, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to pray. I listen to Christian radio when I'm in my car. What am I doing wrong? Yeah. Because these women were doing something. They were trying to do something nice for Jesus. Yeah. Look, God isn't looking for you to do something for him. He wants you to do life with him.
That's right.
What if they would have looked for the resurrected Savior and not the dead Savior? What if they would have said, let's go walking through the streets expecting to meet Jesus alive today. Let's go walking through the garden. Maybe he's already risen again. Maybe he told us he would be resurrected. What if they would have gone through looking that way, but they went to the tomb because they thought they would find him dead? And so sometimes in our life, it's not that we don't love God. It's not that we don't want to do the right thing. It's not that we aren't religious. It's not that we don't go to church. It's not that we don't try to be a good person. It's not that we don't practice the right traditions or ordinances. I mean, goodness, you're here at church on Easter Sunday. But listen, are we seeking the living amongst the dead? Are we just going through the motions, trying to do what we think is the right thing to do because it's religious, because it's tradition, because it's the good thing to do? And sometimes in our walk with God, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I felt like a hamster on a wheel. You ever watched a hamster on a wheel? They just run and run and run and they don't get anywhere. It's like riding a carousel. It seems like a lot of fun, but it just makes you sick if you ride it long enough, right? And you just keep going around and around. It's this. It's motion without movement. And that's where a lot of people find themselves, is they say, I'm alive in Christ because I'm a Christian, but in reality, they're dead. Because they're seeking living amongst the dead. They're just on that hamster wheel. They're just on that carousel. They're just riding around, going through the motions, but not actually growing, not actually getting closer to God, not actually becoming more and more of the man or the woman that he has called us to be. And you have to decide within your life, do I want to be dead or do I want to have abundant life?
Yeah.
And it's not just about having the title Christian in your name. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about doing all of the right things. I'm not talking about a decision that you made 20 years ago or 20 days ago. I'm talking about right now in this current moment that we are living in. Are you seeking the living amongst the living, or are you seeking the dead? Where are you looking for it? Because let me tell you this, Facebook doesn't have the answer. Fox News doesn't have the answer either. More money isn't the answer. Having a nicer car or house isn't the answer. A politician won't make your life worth living. If we can just get a Republican back in the White House. No. You have a risen Savior that's seated at the right hand of the Father, and his term doesn't run out. He doesn't change positions every 4 years. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for you right now. All these things that we seek for, they're dead. They're temporal. Anything that is temporal will eventually die. The only thing that will last is that which comes from God.
Yeah.
So all these temporal things, they don't hold any weight in eternity, but for some reason, they have a hold on us. They don't hold any weight in eternity, but they have a hold on us. You know why? Because we have a hold of them.
That's right.
Because we're grabbing onto them, and we find ourselves seeking life in the midst of the tomb. You see, the problem for these women was they were seeking a dead body when there wasn't one to be found.
Yeah.
They were seeking Jesus to be in a tomb when he was no longer in the tomb. So what you need to do is set your eyes not on something that is dead, but on the one that will make you alive and well.
Yeah.
Because he is alive and well. The one that walked out of that grave. The one that promises life and peace and life more abundantly. So my encouragement to you today is to quit seeking the living among the dead. You know why? He isn't there. He's risen. He's alive. As I said earlier, Jesus right now, do you know where he is? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for you. Every single day, Jesus is praying for you. That word intercession or intercede means to stand in the gap. He is standing in between you and anything that's trying to come against you, and he is praying for you. So after the angels quoted these words of Jesus back to the women in verse 7, it says, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and will be crucified again, and on the third day rise again. Listen to verse 8. And they remembered his words. So I'm going to show you how to solve all these problems. Be mindful of the words that Jesus has spoken in your life. They forgot that he said he would rise again. You know why? Because sometimes in our life, we get so focused on the negative that we forget the promises of God.
Yeah.
They got so focused because they saw Jesus die with their own eyes. They saw his beaten body. They saw the bruises. They saw the crown of thorns. They saw the nails. They saw the spear go into his side. They saw him wrapped. They saw him put into a tomb. And they allowed what they saw with their natural eyes to override what they had heard with their spiritual ears that came from Jesus Christ. And they forgot that he said, I'm going to rise again. It was like, oh yeah, Mary, we forgot. Jesus actually told us this. We should have known, right? Have you ever been reminded of something and as soon as it comes out of their mouth, you're like, oh yeah. Could you imagine this moment in the tomb? They're like, well, don't we look silly right now, right? Because Jesus told us that this was going to happen. The word remember means to be mindful of. So here's what I want to encourage you with today. Be mindful of the words that Jesus has spoken. Now, thankfully, we have been given what Jesus referred to as the Helper, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I want to read to you from John chapter 14 and verse 26, because as Jesus introduced this helper to us, he said, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things," and listen to this, "and will bring to your remembrance all the things which I have spoken to you." The thing that could have solved all of the problems of them seeking the living amongst the dead is if they would have remembered what Jesus said in the first place. Yeah. But because they weren't mindful of the words of Jesus, but they became mindful of what men had done to Jesus, they got their eyes off of the promise, their eyes off of the resurrection, they lost hope, they became greatly perplexed, they began to doubt, they began to wonder, they began to think, what's going on? Was he really the Christ? Because he's not here anymore. Their first thought was not he's risen. Their first thought was it all real? They stood in doubt. They stood in disbelief. The Bible doesn't say they were like, yes, he's not here, that means he rose. They were upset. They were perplexed. They were worried. What are we going to do about this? But it all could have been different had they remembered what Jesus had said. Because when we forget the words of Jesus, we will find ourselves seeking life amongst dead things. But the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the helper, the advocate will remind us, not after the fact, but before the fact. Amen. That's one thing I love about the Holy Spirit. He's known as the convictor. When you feel convicted after you've done something wrong, that's called your conscience. When you feel convicted before you do something, that's called the Holy Spirit. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, "It's God's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and my job to love." And sometimes we miss that conviction of the Holy Spirit and we think, "Oh, I'm convicted about what I've done wrong." No, the Holy Spirit convicts you before you do wrong. Yeah. Because his goal is to keep you away from the sin, not just convict you after you have sinned. And in the same way, he doesn't remind you after the fact, "Hey, you forgot that Jesus said this." He reminds you before the fact. Yeah. It's like a constant reminder. It's like you set a reminder on your phone so you don't forget. If you have a meeting at 2, you don't set your reminder for 3 o'clock. Right? Because that wouldn't do you, "Dad, gummit, I forgot that meeting," right? No, you set it for 1 o'clock so that you don't miss the meeting. Well, the Holy Spirit's the same way. He doesn't remind you after you've forgotten. He reminds you before you forget. Yeah. That's like you tell your spouse, and they never do it. "Hey, remind me to not forget this," right? That doesn't work. Just set a reminder on your iPhone or on your Android. I think flip phones can even do reminders. But try to set a reminder, because your spouse is not the best reminder, okay? At least I'm not a good reminder to Pastor Madison. But anyways, the Holy Spirit will remind you, you serve a risen Savior. You don't have to be perplexed. You don't have to be puzzled. You don't have to stand in doubt. You don't have to be at a loss. I don't know what to do, because Jesus has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says he has the keys to death and to hell and to the grave. So anything that comes from hell to try to bring bondage in your life, Jesus has the key for freedom. And you don't have to beg him for that key. You don't have to earn that key. You just have to say, "Jesus, would you set me free? Jesus, would you unlock the things in my life that have been holding me back? Would you set me free today? Would you turn me loose, God?" You don't have to go through your time on this earth puzzled, perplexed, and at a loss, because I have a promise for you today. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." I got a message for you today. Jesus didn't rise from the dead so we could cook an egg. Cook a ham and hunt eggs, or cook eggs and devil eggs, you know, or if you're a Christian, they're doubled eggs or stuffed eggs, right? We don't do deviled eggs in Christian houses. Some of y'all are so Pentecostal, you can't even have deviled eggs in the house. Devil's food cake? No, that's angel food cake. That's angel food cake. What are we going to call the devil's food cake, right? We just won't eat it, right? But Jesus didn't rise from the grave so you could have a turkey or a ham on the table when you get home today. Jesus didn't rise from the grave or walk out of the tomb so you could buy a new outfit and take a family picture. Not that that's wrong to do. He didn't conquer death on the grave so that we could have a holiday on the calendar. He didn't die from the grave so that you'd come to church once a year to be a good person. He rose from the grave to give life to your mortal body, to quicken you. So that the same spirit that began to breathe life, as we sang earlier, then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And the same spirit that entered that tomb and gave life back to the mortal body of Jesus Christ, that same spirit, if he is inside of you, he will quicken you and he will give life to your mortal body. He will make you alive instead of dead. Remember, Mary, Mary, and Salome weren't forsaking Jesus. They were going to see him. But their religion was dead and it was flat. Let me ask you, does your life feel empty even though you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Could that be because the tomb's empty and you're looking in the tomb instead of looking for a risen Savior? Is your Bible reading dead? Is your prayer life dead? When was the last time, ask yourself, that you truly used your faith and exercised it and believed for something? Ask yourself today, am I dead or am I alive? Not physically, because you're sitting here, but spiritually, am I dead or am I alive? Am I just going through the motions and going to the tomb because that's where I think Jesus is? Or do I truly believe the words that he has spoken? Because if we truly believe he's alive, we'll live every day like he's alive, not just one day on the calendar. So don't base it off of your religious experiences of the past. Right now, in this moment, today, where are you? What are you seeking and where are you seeking it? You know why? Because he's a risen Savior and he wants to resurrect you. He wants to revive you. That's why David prayed in Psalm chapter 119, revive me, O Lord, according to what? Your word. When they remembered the words of Jesus. Jesus said, you are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you. David prayed, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. If your time in the word is dead, your spiritual walk will be dead. It is so important that you fill your life with the word of God, not by legalism, not because you feel bound to it, not because you think you have to do it, but because Jesus is the word. And when we read the word of God, we are reading Jesus. We are spending time with him. And so we need to be revived again and reminded by the Holy Spirit, the words of Jesus Christ. But here's what happened as we begin to wrap this up today, because I know you got a ham in the oven because it's Easter. It was the words of Jesus that revived these women to believe what he had said. Once the angel said, don't you remember what Jesus said? They quickly ran back and told everybody else. It revived, the word of Jesus will revive something inside of you. Even if you're seeking the living amongst the dead today, the word of God can revive you. Amen. The Bible says they ran back and they told the other disciples, but they seemed like idle words to them. Do the words that I'm saying today seem like idle words to you? Maybe that's because your heart is stuck in a tomb. Because he is alive. He is well. And God is calling you to wake up, to rise up, to let the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead enter your mortal body and bring life and bring resurrection. And so I want to end by reading this passage of scripture to you just for a few moments. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived amongst them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ Jesus and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you today that if you will receive the grace of Jesus Christ, if you will put your faith in what Jesus has spoken, you will not have to live dead in trespasses and sin, but he has raised us up because of the love and because of the grace and because of the mercy of God, who so desperately loved us enough to send his son, not just to die, but to overcome death. You see, when Jesus was dead, he didn't just stay dead. He didn't just lay in a tomb for a few days. He went down to hell and he took the keys to the devil's house and he overcame the enemy so that you and I could be overcomers in our life. He gave us life and he was resurrected so that you and I could live a resurrected life. He has made us alive with Christ. Seated us in heavenly places. So the question is, are you dead or are you alive? Because if you're dead, it ain't Jesus's fault. Because he's alive. He's living. He's active. And he has given us everything that we need to live a life that is alive, that is passionate, that is not puzzled and perplexed and wondering and at a loss and doubtful, but a life that is hopeful. A life that's full of peace and a life that's abundant. Amen? Would you stand to your feet with me today? We need to constantly ask ourselves, am I seeking the living amongst the dead? Or sometimes we need to ask ourselves, am I seeking the living at all? What am I seeking? Because sometimes we can be so far off track that we're not even seeking God. Today, if that's where you find yourself and you haven't been seeking God, you haven't been going after him. You've just been going through life, going through the motions, and you want to get your heart right and you want to give your life to Jesus. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you today. If there's anyone here that you'd like to get saved today, you'd like to give your heart to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anybody here? Now, if you're here today and you say, you know what? I do believe in Jesus. I have been following Jesus. But like Mary and Salome, I've lost sight of the words of Jesus and I've begun going through the motions. I'm seeking the living, but I'm doing it amongst the dead. I consider myself a Christian, but I haven't been taking God at his word. I haven't been following him. I haven't been seeking him as passionately as I should be. Without any shame today, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I see that hand. Listen, all of us at times find ourselves going through the motions. Coming to church because it's Sunday. Coming to church because it's Wednesday. Reading our Bible because we have to. Praying, raising our hands because that's what you do when you're in worship. Clapping. And I just want to encourage you today, going through the motions is like seeking the living amongst the dead. And so I want to pray for you today. Father, I pray that you would awaken our spirits. God, as it says in Romans chapter 8:11, that if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us, he will give life. Some translations say he will quicken our mortal bodies. God, I pray that you would quicken these mortal bodies today. God, that we would not go through the motions, that we wouldn't be complacent Christians, that we wouldn't be people that seek the living amongst the dead, that we wouldn't live dead lives that are full of just worthless things, but God, that we would be alive. We would accept the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we would be resurrected with you and seated in heavenly places, God. We just say, revive us according to your word. Holy Spirit, as we go throughout the week, remind us of the things that Jesus said so that we don't lose sight of it and become like these women who sought a living Savior amongst tombs. But God, let us believe that you're alive, not just because it's Easter, but because you are in fact the risen Savior. So we give you praise and glory today. And I pray your power over your church today.